This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I thought about asking you a very simple yes-no question for Twizzler Tuesday. Are quarterbacks still athletes or nah? You know how people say that golfers and NASCAR drivers aren't athletes? Are we now going to have that debate about quarterbacks? They're not athletes. Or are they? Or are they, and the NFL just doesn't want them to be? It's a question that I'm wrestling with, even after watching another multitude of the roughing the passer penalties that have become like the NFL's dirty laundry. We're now through week three. I think it's safe to say that the number one topic in the NFL right now are these new rules, or is these new rules, that makes no sense, are these new rules, except that it's one rule and multiple flags, you get what I'm saying, more ways to protect quarterbacks. And yet, there needs to be a course correction because the pendulum has swung far too much in favor of the offense. And so we'll talk about that tonight. Your tweets made me laugh. Well, some of them were sexist about how quarterbacks should wear skirts. Because, you know, women are not tough and they're not athletes. Thus, if the quarterbacks would put on skirts and act like women, then, of course, you wouldn't have to worry about hitting them. I mean, please spare me. So some of your comments were intelligent and interesting, and I want to get to some of those. I don't think I'll actually make that our Twizzler Tuesday question as we bid farewell to Monday and head forward into a Tuesday. There's certainly a lot to talk about that has nothing to do with the ways that the NFL is attempting to protect quarterbacks and also defend the way it protects quarterbacks. For instance, we've got the first QB out for the season, and it wasn't a hit that took him out. Oh, the irony there. The confirmation from the San Francisco 49ers, plus a quarterback change in the same division. And Tom Brady talks about the new NFL rules to protect guys at his position. So we'll do a bunch of QB news, of course. Plus, we've got Monday Night Football and the second quarter that dooms the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Does it also doom Fitzmatrick? I think that's my new name for him, because I feel like I can't call him Fitzmagic, and I don't want to call him Fitztragic, because that's also not fair. So maybe just Fitzmatrick. No, that was just a total accident. It was my brain and my mouth not being in sync. Ryan doesn't get the win, gets 400 yards, has a quarter in which the offense completely blows up, but then helps to lead his team back within a field goal. Huh. I don't know if that makes it any easier for Tampa Bay head coach Dirk Cutter. So we will talk about Monday Night Football. Does a win cure the dramatics from the Pittsburgh Steelers? There were some very public apologies. I'm using my air quotations. Public apologies from Big Ben and Antonio Brown after the game. But I didn't see any apology from Ben Roethlisberger for his flopping. Did you guys catch that in the second quarter? One of the roughing the passer penalties in the first half took place because there was a hand that came down on Roethlisberger's helmet. But the way that he flopped and fell over. Now, again, we're talking about a guy who's 6'5", and is the size and bulk of a linebacker. And yet somehow the tap on his helmet caused him to fall over. I've fallen and I can't get up. And so I don't know if there will be a category on the next Emmys. I know they just handed out the Emmys, but the next Emmys for quarterbacks who flop. Don't talk to me about soccer players anymore. It's the football floppers. So we'll do some football for sure. We also had media day in the NBA. Well, that's weird. I'm not even sure I'm ready for that. But hockey and basketball are weeks away from their season openers. Wowzers. I told you October is the only month of the year in which all four major professional sports are in session. And then in Major League Baseball, our playoff picture is coming together because we just got a handful of games left the rest of this week, and then the regular season is over. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our second show of the week, we're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Before we get to Monday Night Football and the last game of week three, how about the last game that the Oakland A's would need to play this season?
And now the 2-2 pitch to Seager is on the way, and it's swung on and missed, and down he goes. On a fastball, 98, and the A's have won it. And for the Oakland Athletics, that's their 95th win. And now as they vault out of the dugout, they can head back to the clubhouse and really enjoy a very well-earned celebration after a remarkable run that has seen the A's over their last 87 games go 61-26. And they're back in the postseason.
They are indeed. Congratulations to the Oakland A's. A franchise that locks up a wild card in the American League becomes the final team in the AL to clinch a playoff berth. We don't exactly know where this game will take place, even though the Yankees currently have an edge as the first wild card team. But there's still some time and space left in this regular season. But we do know it will be Oakland and New York in the American League wild card game on October 3rd, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a week from Wednesday. I'm pulling out my handy-dandy calendar. Yes, so the NL wild card will be Tuesday night. The American League wild card will be next Wednesday night. And right now, with the Yankees and A's both winning on Monday night, they're still separated by a game and a half in the wild card standings. But congratulations to Oakland. Getting into the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. If you have not seen any of their locker room celebration, it's awesome. Hashtag dance like no one is watching. I tweeted a snippet of it from the A's Twitter account about 15 minutes ago. So check it out on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also find us on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Can I just add this quick amendment, actually? There is still a chance Oakland could win the AL West. Now, they're 4.5 games behind the World Series champion Houston Astros, but you're saying there's a chance. So, okay, I don't know for sure yet that they will be in the wild card. However, that is the most likely scenario. The A's have finished last place in their division, the AL West, for 3 consecutive years. And now here they are in the playoffs. They have not won a postseason game since 2006. So they'll be seeking their first playoff win in a dozen years. They know for sure that they're into the postseason for the first time since 2014. But they only won 68 games in 2015, only 69 in 2016. And then last year wasn't a whole lot better, 75 total wins. One more nerd alert about this magical run by the Oakland A's. The team was below 500 and 11 games behind the Mariners in the wild card standings in middle of June. How about that? They were below 500 and 11 games out of the wild card game in June, mid-June.
Take that for data.
And since then, this franchise has gone 61-26. Nerd alert! Fantastic. A lot of younger players that learned how to win. And that's one of the special things about a long regular season, like baseball, like the NBA, like the NHL. You can have the time and space to make up a lot of ground, like we saw the A's do, and to build a culture, to learn and to teach the young guys how to be professional baseball players and how to win. Chris Davis, the DH, 120 RBI. And he continues to smoke the baseball. More than 40 home runs. Now at 46 with still a few days left in the regular season. So congratulations to the Oakland A's. Again, there is still a chance they could win the AL West. But we know the five teams that are into the American League. We only know one of the five teams from the National League. That's the Braves, who've locked up the NL East division title. But the Dodgers win in a rally tonight. They've got three consecutive victories. However, the Rockies have got four in a row, which means they're still only a game and a half back in the NL West. Same applies to the spread between the Cubs and the Brewers in the NL Central. And that National League wild card, whew, that second one especially, it's going to be dicey all the way to the finish. This is one of the reasons why I love the two wild card system in both leagues, because not only does it make every last game of the regular season matter, we've seen that over and over since they instituted the wild cards, but it puts a premium on winning your division. The Brewers and the Rockies, even though they're in second place right now, there's a sense of urgency. You want to avoid the wild card. And so they're still going all out, everything they can possibly do to catch the Cubs and the Dodgers in the Central and West divisions, respectively. I mean, this is going to be good to the last drop in the National League. And we'll see if the A's can put on a bit of a run and some pressure on the Houston Astros. Could you imagine that? Houston and New York. It would turn out to be Houston and New York in the AL wild card. Again, not likely to happen, but still a possibility. So we got a little more from Major League Baseball to get to, but that's where we stand right now in terms of the postseason picture. 20 minutes from now, we're going to spend some time in Tampa. Three games down for the Bucks. They've got a 2-1 record. Three consecutive games for Ryan Fitzpatrick with more than 400 yards passing. But Jameis Winston is back. On Tuesday morning, he's back. What should Dirk Cutter do? What would you do if you're the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you've got your former number one overall draft pick, the guy who's supposed to be the present and the future at QB, but you've also got a 35-year-old journeyman that's come in and lit it up, or as DeSean Jackson says, is fire, is pure fire. What do you do? And if you don't make a change, how long do you leave Fitzpatrick out there? Until they lose another game? Until he doesn't throw for 400 yards passing? What would you do with the Tampa Bay quarterback situation? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. But we'll head to Tampa in 20 minutes and we'll ask about the rumblings inside the locker room following Monday Night Football. And straight ahead, the second quarter that doomed the Bucks. And how did the Steelers hang on to a win despite not scoring in the second half on the road? We jump into football next after Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Fire. Fire.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
At the 12 of Pittsburgh, three-man front in the gun. Fitzpatrick, arms extended, gets the belt high snap. Cox is right on, throws a pass. It's ricocheted. It's deflected at the line, and it's intercepted on the ricochet. It's picked off on the play by Mike Hilton on a pass that may have hit a helmet. Certainly was deflected, went straight up, and it was like a pop fly in baseball. First and 10 under center, back to pass. The quarterback, Fitzpatrick, winds up. There's a wobbly pass, and that's picked off downfield. It's intercepted on the play and grabbed by Terrell Edmonds, the first-round pick. Got into the 30, goes to the 40 on the hash mark. He goes up to the 40-yard line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and cuts to the 35 and is taken down there. And Fitzpatrick has thrown two consecutive Tampa Bay interceptions. Second down and 10 for the two. Gets the snap and drops back after the fake handoff. Throws a pass far side. It's intercepted at the 10. Bud Dupree to the 5. Breaks a tackle. He's into the end zone. It's a pick six. It's a Pittsburgh touchdown. The Steelers have thrown a sledgehammer at the undefeated Buccaneers and quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the crowd is stunned. And the Steelers have gone up 22-7 late second quarter.
Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network. And then the Peanut Gallery, Kurt Warner. No, he's not the Peanut Gallery. He's the Hall of Fame quarterback, but that's the only word you heard from him in that very special montage of Ryan Fitzpatrick interceptions. Oops. Three consecutive drives in the second quarter end with Fitzpatrick picks. Patrick picks. It was one of those quarters that you wish you could erase from the time vault. But life doesn't work that way. And to make matters worse, going back to the drive before the first pick, Chris Godwin fumbles. And so on four consecutive drives in the second quarter, all of them in the second quarter, the Bucs turn the ball over, which then leads to 14 Pittsburgh points. You know the margin of victory was 3, right? Ouch. So Fitzpatrick and his magic do not show up for the second quarter. However, it wasn't all bad. This was a really interesting game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Does Ryan Fitzpatrick need to remain as the starting QB for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or should Dirk Cutter go back to Jameis Winston, who is the former first-round draft pick, former number one overall draft pick, and is the quarterback that's supposed to be their present and their future? What would you do if you were Dirk Cutter and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick giveth and Ryan Fitzpatrick taketh away. It's no secret that he's had an issue with turnovers in bunches. They always seem to come in threes, right? What do people say about how bad things always come in threes? Well, that's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He can't just throw one interception, and clearly he can't just throw one touchdown. Funny enough, he had 3 picks and 3 TD passes on Monday Night Football. I didn't even plan that. That just worked out perfectly. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. He goes 30 of 50, 411 yards with the scores and the turnovers. And no matter what you might say about the roughing the passer calls, what you might say about too many flags, because there were a lot of them. There was so much dirty laundry from the NFL on Monday night. This boils down to 14 points off turnovers for the Steelers and 4 wasted possessions in the second quarter for Fitzpatrick and the Bucs.
Turnovers I'm disappointed with, but that drive, you know, for our defense to give us that opportunity and to not make anything out of it, that's what hurts the most for me.
So he refers to the turnovers in the second quarter, and then Ryan talks about their final drive. And this is what impressed me about Pittsburgh. So we talked a bunch here about Fitzpatrick and how their defense was able to shut out Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers in the second half. Here was the second half output for Pittsburgh. A missed field goal after an extended drive, a pair of punts, and then their last possession in which they were able to run out the clock. Now, they were up 20 at the half, and they watched the Buccaneers pull within 3 points. Do you remember how many points the Steelers defense gave up to the Kansas City Chiefs week two at Heinz Field? 42. And so the offense scored 37 and lost. Well, I was really impressed with the way the Steelers defense showed up to play on Monday night. Not only did they have the 4 turnovers in the second quarter, but when Ryan Fitzpatrick got the ball back, when the Bucs offense got the ball back, trailing by 3 with 3 minutes to go, Pittsburgh forced a 3-and-out. Threes are wild from this Monday Night Football. They are everywhere. So that impressed me about the Steelers. I get it. All the talk has been about Antonio Brown and about the drama and about Le'Veon Bell and how the Jets have inquired, but no one's made an offer yet, but Pittsburgh's willing to trade him. You know what? What matters most is that they get that defense shored up. And they get this victory. Yes, yes, yes. Because they were able to put 30 points on the board. But 2 of their touchdowns in the second quarter came because of the defense. In fact, one of them was a pick 6 from Bud Dupree. And then it's the defense that slams the door at the end of the game, when they had to keep Tampa off the board. And so good for the Steelers defense. This was huge. And I hope that this turns into a catalyst for this team now, because they got far too much talent to be yapping all.
Really appreciate the efforts. Made the necessary plays, really. Tip of the cap to a lot of people. All 53 in there fought through a week and came into a stadium prime time on the road and got a necessary win.
That's huge. Monday Night Football, they were winless going in against a team that hadn't lost. They take advantage of a bunch of mistakes by the Buccaneers, and they get 14 points off turnovers in the second quarter. But then they've got a whole another half in which they have to protect that lead. And they do. And it doesn't get away. And it's not a night full of regrets for Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You want to know where else threes are wild? This is kind of crazy. 3 is the number on tonight's show. And the number as we wrap up week 3 in the NFL. We've got 3 teams that are still undefeated.
Nerd alert!
The Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Los Angeles Rams. I know, raise your hand, you picked those 3 teams to be the last ones who are undefeated. We also have only 3 teams left who are winless. Now that Pittsburgh's got its first victory, we're down to the Oakland Raiders, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Houston Texans.
A skunk got loose in our tunnel.
John Gruden's got a reason why they're 0-3. But how about that? 3 undefeated teams and 3 winless teams as we wrap up week 3. All right, so coming up, we'll try to answer this question. What do you do if you're Dirk Cutter? Tampa Bay's got a pair of quarterbacks, both of whom can make a case for starting in week 4. Tampa Bay's 2-1. But Jameis Winston's back in the building on Tuesday morning. So what would you do if you're the Bucs? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Already getting some of your responses, which I appreciate. James says he'd still go with Fitzpatrick. He's a much better player in the pocket versus Winston. We'll get the reaction from Tampa coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Three tight ends out there. Fitzpatrick under center. Second down and 10 for the 2. Gets the snap and drops back after the fake handoff. Throws a pass far side. It's intercepted at the 10. Bud Dupree to the 5. Breaks a tackle. He's into the end zone. It's a pick 6. It's a Pittsburgh touchdown.
The great thing to me coming out of this game is, again, the belief in the huddle in the second half. And guys not wavering and not blinking and, you know, having the feeling that whole time that we were going to come back and win the game. And the defense playing their tails off and, you know, giving us an opportunity with almost 3 minutes left in the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lots of optimism for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, despite the loss on Monday Night Football. First with the pick six that capped four consecutive drives with turnovers in the second quarter. Bud Dupree gets the third interception off of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One radio network. But then, despite being down by 20 points, as Fitzpatrick points out postgame, they did not give up. They still had the belief that they would come back, even though they were down by 3 scores. And they nearly did. They got the ball back with 3 minutes to go, but the Pittsburgh Steelers defense slammed the door and forced a 3-and-out. And the final margin was 30-27. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yep, the old threes are wild. 3 touchdowns for Fitzpatrick, 3 interceptions for Fitzpatrick, 3 touchdowns for Ben Roethlisberger, 3 undefeated teams remaining through week 3, and 3 winless teams remaining now that Pittsburgh has gotten off the schneid. Nerd alert! You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What would you do if you were the Buccaneers now that you've got Jameis Winston returning to the facility on Tuesday? Let's head to Tampa now and welcome Greg Aumann, who covers the Buccaneers for The Athletic in Tampa Bay. Let's start with that second quarter, that fateful second quarter, Greg, where the Bucs had those 4 straight drives with turnovers. What did they have to say after the game about how much that second quarter hurt?
Yeah, I mean, so much of what they did right in those first 2 wins was not turning the ball over. So to have the exact opposite of that, I mean, have 4 straight, even if that's all your mistakes for a game, you can't dig a hole that big against a good team like Pittsburgh. Even a team that's 0-1-1 by record, Roethlisberger's a guy that's going to take advantage of that. So it just probably dug too big a hole for them by the time we're done with the turnovers.
And yet still in the second half, not only do you see the team pull within a field goal, which was the final margin, but shutting out the Steelers and not allowing them any points. So what did they like about the way they finished the game?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that could have easily gotten away from them and maybe last year would have gotten away from them. You know, they're kind of shorthanded on defense. They were down a couple people today. But, yeah, to make some adjustments and keep things in check and pull back. I mean, this was close enough where, you know, there's fans asking if they should have punted on 4th and 10 with about 3 minutes to go or whether they should have gone for it. Just for that to be the question you're asking in postgame is a wild thing when you're down 20 at halftime.
Now comes the question about quarterbacks, because Jameis Winston is done with his suspension and will be with the team come Tuesday morning. And Fitzpatrick ends up with yet another 400-yard passing game, though we did to speak about the interceptions. What does Dirk Koetter do, Greg?
Yeah, he didn't want to tip his hand too much. He said he doesn't want to say anything publicly until he's talked to Jameis in person. Wanted to check the injury report and make sure there weren't any surprises there. But I think the momentum of these first 3 games, it's still very much Ryan Fitzpatrick's job right now, especially with a short week, coming off a Monday game, going on the road to Chicago. I think they stick with the hot hand right now. I mean, he definitely made some mistakes that he hadn't made, but put the team back in position with a chance to win and when they really shouldn't have at the end of this game.
When you think about the way that the offense has flowed with Fitzpatrick, what stands out between the differences with him as the quarterback and then the team with Jameis Winston under center?
Yeah, there's a couple differences. I mean, they changed play callers this year. So Todd Monken, who's the offensive coordinator, is calling plays this year. And he's definitely been more aggressive, gone for a lot more on deep balls. They have 5 pass plays of 50 yards or more already in three games this year, and they had two of those in the entire previous two seasons. So they've been much more successful not only in going deep, but in executing those plays. I think the protection's a lot better. Maybe wasn't as good tonight. But all around, I think when they're throwing the ball deep, guys are making plays and making catches when they need to deep. So it's a lot of things around Fitzpatrick that are probably helping him play as well.
Greg Aumann is with us from Tampa, covers the Bucks for The Athletic. After nearly two decades of the Tampa Bay Times, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the excitement around the team and the 2-0 start. Now, of course, picking up the first loss. But what was it like to be in the stadium there on Monday Night Football with a bunch of excited fans?
Yeah, I mean, it's nearly ideal to have a Monday night game when you're a surprising 2-0 team. You've beaten the Eagles. You've beaten the Saints. The craziness of the Fitzpatrick post-game beard and the open jacket with the chest hair caught fire. I mean, it was so funny. There were so many fans with fake beards. It's like a ZZ Top cover band for 60,000 people tonight. Just all these beards. All the fun with that T-shirt. I mean, Stephen Stamkos from the Lightning is on the sidelines, and he's wearing a Fitzpatrick T-shirt. So it's really fun to see how well the city has kind of embraced this and enjoyed this. You know, Fitz is a guy who probably didn't really have any expectations of starting, you know, came back and was happy to be in that mentor backup role. And obviously with Winston's suspension, had an opportunity here that could have easily just been three games and done. So for him to take this and do so much with it now that they don't have to really rush Winston back and can stick with him is not anything anybody really saw coming here.
It's interesting the relationship between Ryan and DeSean Jackson. And you mentioned his post-game garb, which actually belonged to DeSean after their second win. At least that's what Ryan said. And then DeSean goes on NFL Network and he talks about Ryan being fire. And you don't take the ball away from a guy who's fire like he is, who's as hot as he is. Did that raise any eyebrows? It sounded like he was throwing his vote for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, I mean, DeSean's a guy that's going to speak his mind. I think that probably would be the sentiment in the locker room right now, and I don't know that that's any knock against Jameis. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, no quarterback in NFL history has thrown for 400 yards three games in a row. He only had two when DeSean said it, obviously. But, I mean, even 400 yards and four touchdowns, to do that in back-to-back games, I think is the third time ever. You know, Dan Marino did it in that crazy 84 season that he had. So it's so rare to be able to click the way that he has, I mean, with the exception of maybe a five-minute span of tonight's game, for three games. So I think when you have that, there's that definitely that instinct to keep the hot hand and stick with him and see if he can do the same thing somehow against a really good defense in Chicago on Sunday.
Well, considering that Jameis is supposed to be the quarterback of the present and the future and was a number one draft pick, then how quick would Coach Cutter make the change if Fitzpatrick cools off? Let's say he only has 250 yards passing against the Bears.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. It's like the Bucs have a bye week after Chicago, so there's a little bit more time. I mean, right now you have a short week, and that's kind of an easy excuse for sticking with Fitzpatrick. Mm. But if he stumbles, I mean, yeah, if this is another game where he's throwing multiple interceptions or isn't having the second half that he had tonight, you know, they still have to think of this as being Winston's team long term. It doesn't give them much to hand things over to a 35-year-old. Eventually, he's going to act like his age. So I think you enjoy it as much as you can, but you have to understand that at some point, things are going to catch up to Fitz probably here. So it'll be Winston's team again at some point, but maybe not as immediately as most people thought.
Yeah, it's. I'm not sure I envy Dirk Cutter's position. That's that's a tough one.
I mean, it's a nice. We joked 3 weeks ago that he would love to have a difficult decision to make.
Right.
You know, and it's even after the first game, you know, you kind of said, well, if you know Fitzpatrick keeps throwing for 400 yards and four touchdowns a game, you'll have to keep the job, and not thinking that he will pretty much do that. It's like he's on pace for the numbers are ridiculous. He's on pace for like 6,500 yards and 59 touchdowns. It's a little tough to sustain that, but video game numbers for sure.
Greg Aumann with us from The Athletic Tampa Bay covering the Bucks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One of the big topics for NFL fans right now and for players, both past and present, is these new rules about protecting the quarterbacks. And we saw a few more of those flags on Monday night. How much are players talking about that, Greg?
Yeah, it's definitely a source of frustration. I mean, you don't know what to do. I mean, I think there was a point there, even in the first half, where there had been five roughing the passer penalties. I mean, the three against Pittsburgh, two against the Bucs. I think Pittsburgh had nine penalties for 115 yards in the first half, to where every other time, it's like it used to be, you know, the smart thing to do is just throw it deep and see if you get pass interference. Now it's like drop back and see if you can get your quarterback touched, and you've got 15 yards to show for it. So definitely a frustration, and it takes away from the natural rhythm of the game. For these pass rushers, I don't know that they know the safe way to get to the quarterback. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul had two sacks today, but he had a 15-yard penalty. Gerald McCoy had a 15-yard penalty. So there probably were more negatives to come from hitting the quarterback for the defense than there were positives today because of all these penalties.
Have you heard anything from the coaches about wanting these guys to change their approach as they pursue quarterbacks?
No, I mean, I think they definitely had to kind of try and adjust things today. And that if you're doing anything questionable, it's going to be the opposite of what you want. I mean, instead of a 10-yard loss and you're setting up second and 20, you've got a fresh set of downs and it's first and 10. Bucks ended up getting 155 yards off Steeler penalties today. I mean, the first half for Pittsburgh was not what you usually think about. I mean, turnovers can change things so much, but Pittsburgh gave up 210 yards in the first half, had 115 yards in penalty, and they were still points. So that's what the turnovers can do for you, unfortunately.
That is true, and it turns out to be just a 3-point game, but you wouldn't know the drama if all you saw was the final score. You can find Greg on Twitter at Greg Aumann, A-U-M-A-N. He's now with The Athletic Tampa Bay covering the Bucks. It's great to have a few minutes after Monday Night Football. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. You have a good night.
So interesting stuff there with Greg, and he was in the locker room after the game with the Buccaneers, and the idea is that you would stick with the hot hand. But Dirk Cutter's the guy that gets to make the decision. Now, you remember when Jameis Winston was a rookie, Cutter was the offensive coordinator in Tampa. It was Lovie Smith who was the head coach, right? And one of the reasons why they got rid of Lovie and promoted Coach Cutter was because of his relationship with Jameis. However, it's not been nearly as smooth. And last year there was talk that the two of them had taken a hit in their relationship. Now, part of that is the losing, okay? Losing creates friction. Even in the best relationships, losing creates friction. Adversity creates friction. That's just human nature. Think about your own families. When things are tough, when something terrible happens, a tragedy strikes, it can either bring you together and galvanize you as a family or a locker room, or it can do the opposite. But what it does is it exposes your weaknesses. And so when the Bucs were losing, of course people are going to talk about how the relationship is on the outs. It's hit the skids. It's Splitsville. But it's still Dirk Cutter, and it's still Jameis Winston. It's just now it's a... it's a threesome with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So what do they do? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I'd love to take your phone calls. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And it's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Our Facebook page is available for you as well. Coming up next, LeBron James introduced as a Laker. What? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.